The text, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. This is the Word of God. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, says the preacher. Vanities of vanities, all is vanity. What does a man gain by all his toil, at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, "See, this is new"? It is already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. This is the Word of God. The Death of Ivan Ilyich is a short novel by the great Russian author Leo Tolstoy. It is considered a masterpiece of his late fiction. In this novel, we encountered a young Ivan. He is smart, good-natured, well-balanced, social, and we follow his career. After law school, he makes his way climbing up the career ladder as a lawyer. And he goes from province to province, and he meets a girl. And her name is Pazova Fedorovna. And they marry and they have children. Ivan's life is looking up. As Ivan enters middle age, he enjoys his career, and especially that sense of power and respect he gets from his title. And later, Ivan, he secures an even better job with a better salary in St. Petersburg, which is the capital of Russia at that time. Things are looking up for Ivan. However, one day, he's hanging window draperies, and he's on a ladder, and he missteps, and he falls, and he bangs his side. Ivan thinks nothing of it. He just laughs it off. But that fall proved to be fatal. Many of us are like Ivan. We seek the same things. We want to have security. We want to have comfort, pleasure, maybe respect, maybe prestige, power. And many conveniently avoid death. They just don't want to talk about it. They say, "I don't want to talk about this because even if I accepted this death," their actions actually belie their words. And here in Beloved Church is our need. It's our need to be awakened, to have our senses jarred, to waken us from that stupor or slumber and to confront us with the reality of death. Because tomorrow waits for no one. And in fulfillment of this need, we'll have a way to live. How? By living, by preparing each day to die. Now, this morning we begin a new series on the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is wisdom literature. And just like the Psalms, the Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, and the book of Job, Ecclesiastes tends to give us wisdom in our relationship with God, with others, as well as other areas of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And the main proposition is, all is vanity, all is cyclical, and all is of no profit under the sun. All is vanity, cyclical, and of no profit under the sun. I divided the text into three parts. First, all is vanity, verses 1 and 2. Second, all is cyclical, verses 4 through 11. And going back up to verse 3, all is of no profit. But first, all is vanity. verses 1 and 2. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, says the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is vanity. The book of Ecclesiastes does not name an author, but most say it's attributed to Solomon. And Solomon was not just a son of David, he was a direct, immediate son of David. And as one goes through the chapters of the Ecclesiastes, one will see that this author needs to have tremendous wisdom and resources. And Solomon had tremendous resources and wisdom. It says in the book of Kings that God said to him in a dream, "Behold, I have given all to your words, and lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart. And there will be no man that was before you like you, and there will be no man after you." Solomon is the wisest man who ever lived. Solomon also possessed tremendous resources. And it says in the book of Kings that all Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and that the house of the forest of Lebanon was also of gold, and none were of silver, for it was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. Solomon did live off the fat of the land. Therefore, with confidence, I can say that the author of this book is Solomon. And in verse 2, he says, "Vanities of vanities, says the preacher, vanities of vanities, all is vanity." And just like the phrase, the Holy of Holies is like the most ultimate holy place in the Holy Temple, or like the Song of Songs, which is the ultimate song in the Old Testament, this phrase, vanities, vanities, is a Hebrew superlative. It's the ultimate vain thing. Now, what does that really mean? There's an abstraction there. And we have some English translations, such as the NIV, translate this word vanity as meaningless. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why we have a majority view in evangelicalism of an interpretation of Ecclesiastes. And they say the interpretation is such as that Solomon is considering life under the sun on the earth without consideration of God. They say that Solomon, in his old age, he says that everything is futile and devoid of meaning. They would say that Solomon is like a university philosophy professor, and he's waxing eloquently on existential nihilism. And perhaps that's why some Christians have used this book as an apologetic for the absurdity of atheism. I, however, do not think that's a valid interpretation, because it voices the truth of this book. And that's God. The book of Ecclesiastes is replete with the language of God. God is mentioned over 40 times in its 12 chapters, such as when Solomon says things as, "It is the gift of God." He says that, "I know what God does, it will be forever." And he says that, "I know in my heart that God will judge the righteous and the wicked." Therefore, I do not think it's not talking about God. I think it is talking about God. And second, I don't think it's meaningless, because it's choke full of meaning here. We have later on in Ecclesiastes, Solomon saying that it's better to have a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and striving after the wind. It is full of meaning. So therefore, what are the options? What can this be talking about? Well, I believe we need a greater sense of this word hevel, which is translated vanity, as it is a bit abstract and there's that metaphorical gloss to it. And for that, we can go to the Hebrew lexicon and see what it renders it as. And it renders it as breath. And we see that being used in other passages of the scripture. Later, we're going to sing Psalm 144, and it says, "What is man that you regard him? What is man that you think of him? Man is like a hevel. He is like a breath. Man's life is like a passing shadow." When we look at the lexicon, we also see it's translated as vapor. And we see in Proverbs 21, it says that the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting hevel or vapor. It's a snare of death. So we can understand it as breaths of breaths, vapors of vapors. And I believe it fits the context perfectly. What we have here is a breath, a vapor, a mist, a puff of smoke, which is very real, but it's also very short. And that's what your life is. It's very real, which is very short. We have a breath, a vapor, a mist, a puff of smoke, and it's also elusive. Think of the morning fog. You cannot control it. Think of a puff of smoke. You want to prolong it? Try and grab it with your hand and put it in your pocket and save it for later. It's impossible to do. So Solomon, he's not talking about things being meaningless, devoid, or without any futileness. Not at all. This is choke full of meaning. Solomon is talking about it is a breath. It is a vapor. And life is short. And death is certain. December 8th, 1980, the Beatle John Lennon, who revolutionized the style, the content, the attitude of popular music, he was shot in front of the Dakota Apartments in New York City, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, pronounced dead on arrival. He was only 40 years old, and his death shocked the world. Kobe Bryant, the basketball icon, on 2020, his helicopter, because his pilot lost orientation because of low cloud cover, crashed into the hills at Calabasas, California. He's only 41 years old, and his death shocked the sports world and the rest of the world also. Now, these deaths, they shock the world, but they really shouldn't, because your life is a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Have you considered the brevity of life? Have you considered the brevity of your own life and of your family? This is what Solomon wants to tell us. All is vanity. Now, let us consider verses 4 through 11. All is cyclical. And here Solomon extols in a poetic fashion. A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on the circuit the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which this said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. So you will come and go, and your children will come and go, and your children's children will come and go. The sun rose and went down before you. The sun will rise and go down after you, and it will rise and go down after your children and your children's children. The earth has been set into motion, and in outer space there's no atmosphere, there's no air to slow down the earth, to put friction on the earth's spin, so therefore the earth will continue to spin. And the sun will rise and go down indefinitely. And we have the weather patterns. They ebb and flow according to the earth's spin and according to its orbit around the sun. And we have the rivers that they're flowing into the sea, and the waters of the sea evaporate into the air and they form rain clouds. And when the rain clouds are saturated, they bring forth rain, and then down the mountains they pour back into the river, and the cycle begins over and over again. It is God that told Noah after the flood that seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. The thing that is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. No, perhaps some will object, because of the abnormal weather patterns we see. We see this heat dome that has enveloped our city the last month, record-breaking heat indexes. But if you remember, those who have been here long enough, in 2010, we had over 100 days of 100-degree weather or above. So it's not unprecedented. Now, some would say, well, what about the hurricanes? They take us by surprise. And they do. But before Hurricane Katrina, before Harvey, there was also the Hurricane of Galveston. We've always had wars. We've had the Greco-Persian War. We had the Crusades. We had the World Wars. We've had pandemics. We had the Black Death. We had the Spanish Flu. We had famines. We had the famine in the 14th century of Europe. We also had the 20th century Soviet famine. That which is which will come. And that which will be then is that which shall be then. There's no new thing under the sun. Now perhaps some will say, well, what about AI? Artificial intelligence. ChatGPT, well, that is new. Well, Solomon's not saying nothing new will ever be invented. New technology is still technology. You know, those iPhones that are in your possession, we've always had means of communication. And this government we have is another government. We've always had forms of government. And the babies that are going to be born in this congregation, as unique as they are, made in the image of God, a new baby is still a baby. Even the landing on the moon is a sense of exploration and adventure that man has always had. Once we conquer the solar system, we're going to want to conquer the next galaxy and the galaxy after that. You see, man, he's always seeking something new, something significant, something that will be something to grab on, but there's just nothing. No such thing exists. That thing that is that which shall be. And the thing that is done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. The earth, it doesn't change. It's not going anywhere. The earth exhibits permanence. Have you conceded this cycle? Have you conceded that you're helpless to change this cycle? We considered all is vanity. We've considered all is cyclical. Now let us consider all is of no profit. The preacher, he sketches man on the canvas of the unchanging universe. And he began with a question. And it's a question that's rhetorical and programmatic, and it informs not just the immediate context, but all of Ecclesiastes, and this is in verse 3. What does a man gain by all the toil which he toils under the sun? The sun continually chases its tail, and the wind goes to the south and goes back up to the north, and so is also man. He goes about in a roundabout fashion, always chasing the wind. And the rivers, they pour into the sea, and the sea is never full, and so also is man. He's insatiable. Nothing will satisfy him. He imbibes all the things that his ears and his eye will take in. He's never completely satisfied. Verse 3, what does a man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? What does a man gain by all his labors? What does the world gain by all man's labors? And the answer is nothing. Gains nothing. Man's contributions do not matter. All his labor is no profit, because the world will continue with or without you. Every generation is a man born, and he wakes up and he does the same thing over and over again, and then he dies. It's followed by his children who do the same thing over and over again, and then they die. Followed by their children's children, do the same things in the same manner, and they meet the same fate. Later on, Ecclesiastes, Solomon will say, consider the work of God, for who can make crooked that which he has made straight? And man will continue to toil. He will continue to strive after the sun, and man will be forgotten. We see this in verse 11 here. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. Man will be forgotten. His children will be forgotten, and his children's children will be forgotten. The coming and going of generations ensures that no one will be remembered. So whatever you do here, whatever you accomplish, whatever happens in your life, it's almost certain that no one's going to remember you. Solomon, he's giving a clear view of what life is under the sun. It is an honest view. He's not extolling about existential existential nihilism. No. Solomon is giving reality for all people, for Christians and non-Christians. But though we know deep down that we will face death, and deep down we know Solomon is right, yet our everyday actions belie our belief. Man wants more and more. Have you ever met anyone who doesn't want more? They're not too many. People want the next car. They want the next house. I would be happy if I had fill in the blank. People just want more. You know, Rockefeller, he was once asked, how much money is enough? And his answer, just a little bit more. American football player Tom Brady, of the 7 Super Bowl rings, someone once asked him, which is your favorite ring? And he answered, the next one. People want more, and you do everything to get that more, striving after the win. And you know what? No one's going to remember them. How many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence do you know? Do you remember? How many can you name? Maybe one, maybe two? And if you can name them, how well do you know them? Are they a morning person? What do you like to eat? Are they an introvert, extrovert? These are the founding fathers, only 250 years removed from us. And how little we know about them. How quickly they're forgotten. Are you endeavoring to make your mark on this world? Do you admire those who have seemingly made this mark in this world? The Elon Musk, the Jeff Bezos, because in the cosmic scheme of things, it doesn't matter what they do, and they're going to be forgotten. We've considered all as vanity. We've considered all cyclical, and we've considered that all is of no profit under the sun. Now, contrary to what people may think, Solomon is not being pessimistic. He's actually quite optimistic. Because those who have made peace with death, death is a stepping stone into the presence of the true and living God. For those who have made peace with death, those realize as strangers and pilgrims on earth. They're looking for a building whose foundation's work is the hand of God. Those are the ones that set their affections above and not on things here of the earth. The Queen of South came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Solomon here, he's proclaiming someone that's greater than him. He's proclaiming someone whose God will be his father and he will be his son. This someone, his kingdom will be forever and his throne shall be forevermore. Solomon says at the end of this book that there will be judgment. And the duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Now, what is his commandments? Looking from the rest of the scriptures, we see it's to believe in that type of Solomon. To believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who keep his commandments, God will love him and God will manifest himself to him. Judgment is coming. And Solomon says at the end of Ecclesiastes, to fear man and keep his commandments, and you will be acquitted from the judgment of God. Ivan Ilyich, he's enjoying his career. He especially enjoys the power and respect that he has. And later he moves to St. Petersburg because he's gotten a better job offer with a better salary. And Ivan, he has purchased an apartment with this newfound interest in interior design. He's determined to make it the apartment of his dreams. However, one day he's on a ladder and he missteps. He falls and he bangs the side of his body. But Ivan doesn't think much of it. It's happened to him before. He laughs it off. It turns out that pain continues to persist and he develops a bad taste in his mouth. One day, Ivan's laying in bed, and he's contemplating, is life this awful? I was really never that happy. Is it possible I did not live life the correct way? Well, Ivan just can't bring himself to believe, and he quickly dismisses the idea. Now, many in this world were like Ivan. We conveniently avoid death. And herein is our need. Our need to have our senses jarred to waken us from the stupor of slumber. To confront us with the reality of death, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. In fulfillment of this need, we will learn to live by living the rest of our days in preparation for death. Solomon begins this chapter, verses 1 through 11, speaking about all is vanity, all is cyclical, and all is no profit under the sun. Because once we accept all is vanity, all is cyclical, and no profit under the sun, it will free us. And we will learn to live. And Solomon will say in the next chapters that life is a gift of God, and it's full of meaning, and it has great satisfaction. And he will endeavor to show this to us in the chapters that are coming up. And Lord willing, we will go through these chapters in the weeks ahead. All glory to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please pray with me.